Thursday, May 19. Good morning, everyone. The Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. Thursday, and we've got round 11 starting tonight. Newcastle up against Brisbane in the Hunter. The Knights trying to go back-to-back after their win against the Dogs, and Brisbane looking to continue flying. But Anthony Milford, former Broncos 5'8", will make his club debut for Newcastle tonight. And we've got breaking news in here this morning. Clarkie's filly, pretty wild, is going to be trialling tomorrow morning, Rosehill Gardens, 10:30. And just by coincidence, we're going to have Chris Waller, your trainer, on the show tomorrow morning. Pup,
good
exciting
timing.
Stuff.
Morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. Yep, might put him under the pump tomorrow. Hope he's looking after my little princess. Hope she runs well. Nice email to receive yesterday. So let's see how she goes. But happy Thursday. Chilly outside. Another sunny day. They're forecast so large. Yesterday was a beauty. And looking forward to tonight. I saw Adam Reynolds didn't train yesterday with the Broncos. Is that...
Yeah, a bit of a groin issue.
Yeah, you reckon that? Do you reckon he'll still play?
Oh, he'll play. I'm assuming
just
he'll
put
play.
Him in cotton wool for
just
training.
Just try and look after him, yeah. Just give him some time off. Good morning, everybody. Looking forward to that game tonight. Mm. Not only have you got the Broncos playing some terrific football at the moment, Newcastle Knights need to win.
Yeah.
They won last weekend, albeit not in great style, but they got the 2 points. They move on. They walk on some troops back tonight. They get Gagai back. They get Tyson Frizzell. So that will give them a bit of starch and a bit of strike out wide. But the big one is Anthony Milford coming up against his former club. He hasn't played for over 12 months. He hasn't reached anywhere near his potential, Anthony Milford. I think he had that one sort of breakout season with the Broncos in 2015. But ever since then, he sort of hasn't sort of reached the heights we expected him to. Arguably the best player in that grand final against the Cowboys. He was brilliant on the night, but signed a million dollar a year contract and just never lived up to those expectations. So he goes up there. He's off contract at the end of the year. The Dolphins have shown interest in him, but the Knights have given him a lifeline, and we'll see how he goes tonight.
Brisbane, after round six to win the premiership, $101. 5 weeks later, $23. Incredible, isn't it? Because, again, Kevvy Walters was another coach under the pump at the start of the season. We had him on the show, obviously, for the whole year there a couple of years ago. Great mate of yours. I've got no love for the Broncos, but I'm loving seeing Kevvy do well.
Well, I think if you know Kevvy, you know what type of personality he is, and you hope that he has success. And you know, it was a bit slow for him last year and he caught plenty of criticism. He wore it on the chin. He came back and, he's got this squad together. He identified experience as an area that he needed to find, and he went out and got a couple of experienced players in Adam Reynolds and also Kurt Capel, and their leadership has been invaluable. And then you throw in the likes of young Patrick Carrigan and Flegler. We all know the ability of Payne Haas, and they've got the nucleus there of a very, very good side. Certainly a very good forward pack. They've got strike in the centres with Katoni Staggs and Herbie Farnworth. They've got experience with Corey Oates. They've got this exciting young talent in Selwyn Cobbo. And all of a sudden, the Broncos are being spoken about as a top eight contender. So well done to Kevvy, but they've got to go down to Newcastle. Newcastle's a tough place to win. I know they've lost their last couple of games and lost by big margins, but this is a stronger side than what they've put on the paddock the last couple of months. And I think Newcastle will be up for the challenge. But we'll talk to Steve Blocker-Roach after seven. We'll get his tips. We'll talk about the reasons why we think teams will win this weekend. And good news if you're a Melbourne Storm supporter, though, with Craig Bellamy announcing that he'll continue on coaching the club in 2023. I'm sure a lot of people would have been nervous about his decision. Craig has said it himself. He doesn't want to go that 1 year too long. He's 63, going 64 at the end of the year. He's still got the desire and passion to keep going, and he'll make his decision on a yearly basis. But good news yesterday for Melbourne, and that might play a big role in determining where Cameron Munster may end up when he's off contract at the end of 2023.
A couple of texts here. Our listeners very keen for the game tonight. Hey, boys, I hope these Broncos are ready for a frosty reception tonight. I'm fired up. Knights will go back-to-back. No name to that one. Morning, lads. As a Knights fan, I'm excited to see Milford play with Ponga. We've finally got some troops back. No excuses for them now, says Jackson from Brisbane. But Anthony Milford, I mean, he has played footy for well, we're talking a year, basically. What, round 21, not quite
yeah,
a year.
Yeah, still, but it's still a long time, Mido, to have off and to rush straight back into a first-grade environment. Coming up a team who's pretty resilient at the moment, and they're very confident, the Brisbane Broncos, so they travel down to Newcastle without any fears. But, you know, Milford's got a good pack to play behind. You've got Clemmer and Saifidi. Yeah, they haven't. Well, Saifidi hasn't been at his dominant best, but we know what he's capable of doing. You've got Frizzell, Fitzgibbon and Barnett in the back row. So he might play behind a forward pack that's on the front foot. And if he does that, I'm looking forward to seeing how he combines with a Clune and a Ponga. You know, but we know that Milford is a guy that can play to space, can do the unpredictable. He's an exciting player, but he might be a little bit rusty in his first game back.
And just on Craig Bellamy, Loz, as someone who knows him well, I mean, I look at him and think, I reckon he'd almost be lost if he wasn't coaching. You just look at him and think, how could he give it away? I mean, he's still very much at the top of his game. I wasn't one bit shocked that he's going to continue on, put it that way.
No, I wasn't shocked either, but knowing Craig the way I do, he's a pretty determined fellow, and when his mind's set, when he sets his mind on something, that's it. And he'll know when he needs to retire. He'll know when it's time to walk away. You know, he's got a strong work ethic. He's got a commitment to the group. And he's one of the most successful coaches of all time. And, you know, you've got to have that fire and the hunger. And I think for him, the day he loses that is the day he won't be Craig Bellamy, the coach. He'll know himself. It's like as a footy player, like as a cricket player. You just know. You wake up and you just feel it. You haven't got that same hunger and passion. And once you lose that and you're off just a touch, it resonates within the whole group. And the group, they know something's not right. And then your standards start to slip. And Craig won't want to see Melbourne go through that. So he's there in the short term. And we know that he's committed to the club after he's coaching in a coaching director's capacity. But he's the only one that can decide when his time is up. And I'm sure that, you know, with the group of players that he's got coming through at the moment, it excites him. It's another challenge, and he wants to leave the Storm in the best possible shape. I don't think Craig would be this type of coach to leave them when he sucked all the juice out of them. I think he'll still leave when the next coach can walk into an environment that they can walk in and be confident they're going to have success.
I hope a few of our listeners cashed in yesterday. Firstly, JR with the NBA multi as Miami won 118-107. And that was $6, JR's multi for game one of the Eastern Conference Finals yesterday, where she had Miami to win and Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero to combine for 40-plus points. Well, Butler got 40 on his own. He finished with 41 and Hero got 18. So that was the easiest watch of all time. Well, it was from about midway through the third quarter or early in the third quarter when the Celtics collapsed. How was Will at home watching that yesterday, Loz?
Disappointed? Well, no, not disappointed, because he never
players
thought,
out.
Yeah, never thought they were going to win. He was happy with the way they competed, but he said to me later, he said that, you know, he never thought they'd win that first game given the players that were missing. But, you know, Butler had a field day yesterday. He just kept knocking them in. But I watched the start of that game. They kept missing early buckets. Mm. They were missing plenty early, but then they found their rhythm.
And you had a win over Cookie yesterday with Timpanist, which was double figures when tipped. I think that was post-scratchings as well. I might be wrong there. I was out and about yesterday, so I missed it. But
Chalk another one up, Mitter.
Still jumped it around.
So these are one of the things that go unnoticed on the program. People want to be critical of me when, you know, I don't tip winners. But, you know, when I tip winners, I wouldn't mind a bit of praise.
And Brad Davidson was one of his bets there yesterday as well.
Well, I just endorsed.
Yeah, you did.
I endorsed.
Or maybe he endorsed.
I endorsed it because I went after it. So I gave him my stamp of
look,
approval.
Look, it was a W anyway.
So it was a W.
Did you back it?
No.
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 Infuriating, isn't it?
Oh, don't
you're getting
go
slaps
there,
on the back, but you've had no financial benefit.
Did not have one
very
penny.
Very unsatisfying.
On it. Didn't have one penny on it.
Mm. By the way, amazing what horse ownership does to you, doesn't it? Clarkie tells us that he's got a horse in tomorrow, trialing. Mm. I was like, oh no, I can't get there and watch it. Mate, it's trial,
geez,
it's okay.
That's just keen. Oh, you're a keen bean. Keen bean.
No,
you can watch it on TV, mate.
I don't want to watch it on TV,
or just
mate.
Get the
I want to get there and see it live. I want to see it live.
Rose Hill.
Yes.
Got to walk around the yard as well.
Maybe. I'd like to check the track. I'd like to have a talk to the curator about conditions.
I guarantee you won't drive to Rose Hill. If it was Ranwick, you probably
would. I guarantee I won't be driving anywhere. You're right. I've got somewhere to be at 10:30 tomorrow morning.
No, just wait for the reply or watch it on. Yeah,
Sky Thoroughbred Central.
Mm, there you go.
528, mate. Switch it on at 10:30.
I think I'm in the car, actually, around then. I've got a long drive tomorrow after radio. Okay. So
pull over and watch it on your tab app.
Yes, there's a good call. Definitely. But I'll be finding
that's
the
being
result.
Responsible, isn't it?
Pull over. And well, yeah. What's the law? You got to have the
car
keys
off.
Out of the ignition.
Car off. Car off.
Yeah. So you can pull over and watch it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it is a good thrill, mate. You will be excited.
I'm excited now. Yeah. I'm excited to speak to Chris tomorrow. Yeah. The other one, do you see Matthew Mott got the England job?
Yes, he did.
So I reckon big loss for the girls, Australian women's team. He's done a great job there. But I understand, I think Motty has always wanted to coach at the highest possible level, so he probably sees this as a stepping stone to, who knows, maybe coming back one day and coaching the Australian men's team. So, I wonder who'll get that women's job. Ben Sawyer, genius. He's been his assistant for a while, coached the Sydney Sixers for a long time. They had a lot of success as well, so I'd love to see Benny get a crack at it. And I actually see, I think Charlotte Edwards, ex-England captain, former England captain, is now coach of the Sixers. So Ben must have resigned from that job. I wonder if this is all falling into place nicely, knowing Motty was going to get the England men's short form. Charlotte Edwards comes and does the women, and now Benny Sawyer gets a crack at the female Aussie team. That'd be unreal. But, yeah, exciting for Motty and very happy with it.
What does that say about the coaching setup in England?
Yeah, it doesn't say a lot.
No.
Especially, I can't believe, I thought once they announced Brendan McCullum as test coach, I thought they would have went with Paul Collingwood, who's been caretaker and also assistant, played for England, very successful. Mm. The players love him. I thought they would have stuck with Paul Collingwood for the short form. And Collingwood and McCullum get on very well.
Yeah.
As do Matthew Mott. Motty and Baz get on very well as well. So, but I thought they would have definitely kept, once they announced Baz, I thought they would have went, rightio, let's have a English coach involved as well. Because the other thing you could do as well, you could nearly, with someone like Paul Collingwood, you could nearly keep him Brendan McCullum's assistant in the test format and let him coach the short forms.
Mm.
So at least you're still all working together.
It's an interesting sort of selection, isn't it? Because if you know the narrative straight away, if it doesn't work, they don't understand the English culture.
Yeah,
not that the English culture were having success with the way they were playing, but
not in the test format. One day team, they've been.
You know where they're going.
You know where they're going
with it. If it doesn't work,
all right. There's obviously more pressure on Motty than Brendan McCullum because their 2020 and one day cricket has been super successful. So to stay at the top of the tree is going to be a really hard challenge in that format. You've got a 2020 World Cup around the corner. You've got a one-day cup around the corner. So there's going to be some pressure on Motty straight away. For Brendan McCullum, they're ranked sixth in the world. They're playing horrible test cricket at the moment. So there's, he's got room for, he's got time to grow. And as long as they see that improvement. But in regards to, resume, there'd be nobody better. There'd be no coach in the world currently with a more successful resume than Matthew Mott, because that Australian women's team has been the most successful team in the world over a long period of time. So if they're going on performance, you can see why they've given him a crack.
Just a bit of love here for Dave-O and in-laws as well. Congratulations, Brad Davidson, on tipping and actually backing tipping us yesterday. Cheers, Wol. And Brad's tip was $12 after scratchings. Thanks, Loz. Michael from Yarraman. Now, I sat next to Michael from Yarraman.
Thanks, Michael.
I sat next to him at Scone Cup on Friday. Great fella. Good Kiwi bloke who, I asked him, I said, mate, just of all these Kiwi horses heading to Brisbane at the moment, what's one I really need to sort of centre in on? And he said unequivocally, Dark Destroyer heading towards the Queensland Derby. It went on Saturday afternoon. I was at my mum's place on the Central Coast, drifting in and out of consciousness after a decent Scone Cup. The Rough Habit comes on it, and I've got on just before the jump, $8.50, Dark Destroyer. Fantastic win. And I obviously didn't give that tip out to anybody, so apologies to you.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
But thank you to Michael for that one.
Well, Michael, you're a very, very good judge. Keep them coming. Let us know what you like this weekend.
Don't be crazy, Craig. The immortal pep talk that stopped Bellamy from quitting the Storm on the back page of the Daily Telegraph. Apparently, Andrew Johns just gave great Craig Bellamy a call, according to this article, a couple of months ago, and basically told him he'd be mad to stop. So, as Loz mentioned, the news today, or yesterday, is that Craig Bellamy's going around again until the end of 2023. And according to the Telegraph as well, he has until next March, so basically before the start of the season, to tell the club if he wants to continue. Now, on this occasion, Matt Tripp gave him a lot of leeway, which was, you know, very smart from the Storm boss or chairman to, you know, I think if they probably put the pressure on him, he probably would have left, Loz, but I wonder if they'll give him the same latitude heading towards the start of next season, because they would want, I'm sure, more certainty at that point for season 2024 for the sake of their recruitment.
Yeah, you know what, you probably do, but when you're talking about a coach like Craig Bellamy, they're elite, and I think you give them more leeway than if it's just a run-of-the-mill NRL first-grade coach that you want to keep. I think you've got to respect that if he's not ready to make his mind up, you give him as much time as he needs. But the thing with Craig, as I said before, he's not going to leave them in the lurch. He's not going to leave them with a playing group that's at the end of their tether. He is going to leave them with something else to give, and for the new coach to walk in and go, you know what, I can still be highly competitive with this group and a chance of winning a competition. That's the way he'll want to leave Melbourne. He's just not going to suck all the juice out of them and then goes, you know what, boys, my time's up here. It's going to be a difficult rebuild. I'm out. That's not the way he operates.
I think you give someone like Craig Bellamy anything he wants to keep him there for as long as he wants. Even if he's 90% out, you fight that hard to keep him for that extra 10%. Mm. Look, we're having a conversation every single day about, you know, which coach has been sacked this weekend. So, you know, look at what just happened to Trent Barrett. It's such a hard job. And when you've got a reputation and a success rate like he does, if I'm Melbourne Storm, and every other club, if he does decide to walk away and say, no, I don't want to coach anymore, I'd just be checking one more time. I think you do everything you can to keep someone like Craig Bellamy.
It'll be fascinating the day he's not there, though.
Well, he wants Billy Slater as well. He said that yesterday, didn't he? He said the dream come true, the fairy tale, would be Billy Slater comes and coaches Melbourne Storm. Like, he was pretty straight up about that.
I think Billy could, but it's up to Billy if he wanted to do it. I think, you know, Billy...
Surely he hasn't coached the thing yet either. Like, because you're a great player doesn't make you a great coach.
He might get into that origin side and just...
What if they get flogged 3-0?
Yeah, well, that's but exactly right.
Even if he loves it, like, if you're not... You don't know. Like, we all assume... Mate, Trent Barrett was a great player as well. Mm. Played enough origins, successful player. Like, just because you're a great player doesn't mean you're a great coach.
No,
you've been there. You say it very clearly. Coaching a club team, an NRL team, is very different to coaching origin. So to me, it's like, again, you know, you go on a tour for the Australian cricket team. That head coach for that tour, really, you're at the highest level.
Yeah.
You know your game so well. Your responsibility really is man management. You know, I'd imagine a whole season with a team is actual coaching.
Yeah.
Big difference.
There's a lot more time and effort that goes into being an NRL coach. And, like, Billy's, you know, loves his horses. He's got the property down there, which he loves spending time on and working with those horses. He's got Channel 9, and he's got, you know, he can dip his toe into coaching with State of Origin. That's where he can, you know, bring out the best in Billy and sort of see whether he's, likes coaching and, you know, has that bug for it, but
sounds like doing a good life to me. What he's got now,
doing it full time. Yeah. Geez, your whole life changes. Mm. Your whole life changes.
Now, in the Sydney Morning Herald, an article from Michael Chemers: can an old dog teach battling side new tricks? And this is the appointment which was made official yesterday. The Mick Potter, former Canterbury player, there in the 80s as well, will be the interim coach. And this text from the Condor: morning, boys, are the Bulldogs serious? They've named Mick Potter as interim coach. He was the Mounties coach, feeder club to the Dogs. Their record this year, 1 win, 7 losses. How do you think he will go, says the Condor. Just such an intriguing... Well, the subplots to this game tomorrow night at Leichhardt. You've got two teams who are 2 wins, 8 losses. You got Brent Naden, who's told his team via text message, only because the circumstances didn't allow otherwise, really, that he's left midweek to go to the Tigers and will line up against his old side tomorrow night. Mick Potter had an unhappy finish at the Tigers when he was coached there 2013 and 14, and here he is walking into the Bulldog storm against the Tigers.
Yeah. And just on Mick's coaching record with Mounties, you've got to take into consideration, as a reserve-grade coach, you don't know who your side's going to be until the day of the game, basically. And there's extended squads these days, so a lot of players travel with the first grade teams away. So you're not actually getting, you know, the 18th, 19th, 20th ranked player.
Hard to prepare a side.
It is hard to, you know, and then if you get COVID, you get all different sorts of things. A lot of injuries test your depth of your squad. It's very, very difficult to judge a, you know, reserve grade coach, I believe. I mean, they're there to help serve the first grade team. To have these players prepare to be ready to play first grade rather than actually zeroing in. Yes, you want to win a competition, I get that. But their main role is to have them prepared. You get players being dropped, coming back down. You know, what type of mindset are they in? You've got to try and get them ready to play well in your team, then to provide that environment for them to, you know, leave your team and go up and play first grade again. Mm. That's the role of the reserve grade coach.
I'm guessing, Loz, does it work that during the week, 24
players... You don't have them. You might get them back to the last session.
So on Friday, you might get a call from, well, you know, the, say Anthony Griffin at the Dragons will let 5-6 players know on a Friday, okay, go off and play with the the Cutters or whatever tomorrow.
Or
they rock up on game day and the coach has got to fit all these guys in. Is that how it works?
Yep. You might have captains run the night before a game. Mm. And the second grade team may have done their preparation. You might get a phone call off the coach saying, mate, I need X, Y, and Z not to play tomorrow because they're in doubt. Mm. These blokes are in doubt for first grade. I need X, Y, and Z not to play because I might need them on Sunday.
Doesn't it sound like fun to coach under those circumstances?
No, it's a difficult job being a reserve grade coach. Most definitely.
Josh Reynolds coming up shortly. Watching the Europa League final here too. In Seville, and the crowd looks, amazing scenes there in Seville in Spain. Now, Rangers and Eintracht Frankfurt scoreless. And they're saying what the population of Seville's increased by about 20% with the influx of fans from Scotland and Germany for this Europa League final this morning. But scoreless as it stands. Just some news through from the match review panel as well. Scott Morrison's escape charge, the Prime Minister.
Oh, what about that?
For his little incident there playing football with the kids in Tasmania last night.
Serious, PM? Like, mate, this just walk, you're allowed to walk. It's not like it wasn't. It's not the FIFA World Cup.
Well, you need to put the spikes on.
Eight-year-old kids just having a kick of a soccer ball. Like, just you're allowed to walk around, and you know it's all set up anyway, mate. They'll pass you the ball at some stage so you can kick it so the camera gets it. Well, what's the run, full sprint, dive to the left to get the ball off the youngster and knock him over?
It was Boris Johnson all over?
Mate, it was yes.
Boris, it was flubber.
As soon as I saw it last night, I just went Boris. That's a Boris moment,
mate. Bad footage.
Scomo. He's out there mingling.
No, I'm all for that. I'm all for him playing soccer with the youngsters. But, mate, there's 100 cameras following him around, right? At some stage, you're going to set a photo up. A young kid's going to pass him the ball. He's going to kick it back to another kid. That's happening. That's a given.
Look, he was trying to play
World Cup final.
Trying to play a game. It's the big ScoMo.
You remember Johnny fitness. When Johnny... I love Johnny. When Johnny Howard bowled that ball.
Yeah.
I was like, I love it. I'm all for the bowling and... Johnny loves his sport, loves his cricket, but he didn't need to have like the 5 meter run up and like he had his spikes on.
That's your moment, mate.
It was World Cup. World Cup final.
It was a terrible ball.
It was a tennis ball. Got stuck in his hand. So
A tennis ball?
It was a tennis ball. So he went round two, same thing happened.
I saw it. There was a great thing on social media. Someone had clipped together all the politicians' sporting moments gone wrong.
Oh, my God.
All those ones you mentioned there. The other one was Barack Obama. And the caption was, and this from the leader of the free world, Barack Obama, when he did the first pitch in the baseball.
Horrible.
He threw it into the crowd. Just, oh my God. And he's got up there, done the big
Round arm.
Yep.
Could he throw? You know, you watch people throw. You can see if they got coordination.
Oh, look,
or not.
You know, it wasn't probably the worst style, but it went straight out the top of his hand and over the guy at the plate.
I reckon there's two things you can't hide: the way you throw and the way you run. You can tell straight away if you got coordination or not.
I love Bill Shorten.
Running style.
It's one of the funniest running styles.
Hence my point.
I've ever
seen. There. You're not allowed to be on his toes. Mate, Bill, only on his heels.
That was embarrassing.
Only on his heels.
That was embarrassing, wasn't it?
That was bad.
Hopefully he had something wrong with his foot or something.
Bindi's in the front of his shoes. That's what he had.
It was bad style.
Heels only.
I don't know what was going on there.
That's my point about coordination. You can see it straight away.
Letitia was terrible.
G'day, Josh.
Hey, Middo, how are you, mate?
Very well, mate. So you're coming off a 24-10 loss to St Helens. Take us through it.
Yeah, mate, it was, like I said last week, we were fairly confident going into the game, mate. We started really well. We took it to them at the start. Probably had a couple of chances that we left out in the field, and that was probably the thing that lost it for us. We probably had to score one or two tries early to probably get us into the game a bit more, but what ended up happening, it was 4-4, and then they ended up scoring right on half-time. And I suppose that being a team like St Helens and being good front runners, they sort of just grinded us in the end, mate. We went away from what we're doing well in the first half, and we're probably chasing the game a bit. Even myself was a bit probably doing that, and you know when the halves are doing that, it filters through the team. So yeah, it was a bit of a learning lesson for us. But they are the best team. That they've won it 3 years in a row, but in saying that, for us, we've got to if we're any chance of winning this, we can't keep giving these big games away. And we've got another one in Wigan this Saturday, so it'll be another big challenge for us.
Joshua, you mentioned last week just the grind that St Helens have. They just stay, doing the basics over and over and over again. And, the teams that do get close to beating them, they match them with that discipline. Is that the area that you think you boys have got to look at? And honestly, how hard is that? If a team is so disciplined, how do you just not try something new? How do you just stay in there and wait for that opportunity?
Well, that's it, isn't it, Clarky? It's just the teams that can match it with the best teams. I think it's mentally. Mm. I think, you can go set for set for set, and you just got to realise that St Helens are going to do that all day. And we said that throughout the week. There was actually a clip in our video that I said to the boys, one of their tries that they scored, that all they done was, they went three short side plays and then just a little shift on fourth tackle. Conrad Hull went around one of our boys, flicked past to the winger, and they scored. Like, every team can do that. But it's just them. We were battening them on their try line, and then they just done something little like that. And then, then they were on top. It's just one of those things where you just got to be happy in the grind. And you can't try and, try and chase points as we done. You can't try and do different things, even though sometimes you try and mix it up to try and break a defensive line. But I think we did fall into the trap of like I said, trying stuff, and then it didn't come off, and then they're just too good. They just put you away.
It doesn't help though, Grubby, when you lose a good player early on.
Yeah, well, that's it, Loz. It's just one of those. I suppose it's for them too. They had one in the bin, Loz, and that was probably one of the things that hurt us the most was, well, for me, going back after the game and looking at the video, the period of the 10 minutes when they had someone in the bin, we didn't take advantage of that. We didn't use the numbers well. We didn't, well, they were unreal, to be honest. They saved two tries in that time, and that's probably the best thing about St Helens was their scramble. It looks like you've got them on the edge, and then three of them are coming to, bundle you into touch. But, as I said, that's why they're the champs, and now, we're aspiring to be that, but, it was a bit of a wake-up call for us, so it'll be good for us. I think, mid-year, see where we're at, and, we can work on the things that we needed to work on.
Well, you speak about taking on Wigan, and, they knocked St Helens off only a week or two ago, but what's Hull and Proud Week? What's this all about?
Yeah, well, so it's just a bit of a initiative from the club, because obviously with COVID and whatnot, we haven't been able to do much community work and promo work. So pretty much every night this week, they've got sort of a gig on. So last night I went to a quiz night Monday night, a few of the boys went out to Nando's and cooked for a few of the fans and whatnot. And I'm pretty sure there's a school visit nearly every day this week, mate. So it's pretty much just giving back. And, you know, because it was actually nice to actually go to a school because we hadn't been in a long time and, yeah, you know, see the kids, even though they don't, you know, they're all about football over here. But I honestly do miss that, Loz. It's something that you probably, when you're doing it a lot, you know, because I feel you do a lot of more community work back in the NRL compared to over here. But actually going to a school and, you know, seeing the kids ask you to sign their arm and stuff, it was actually nice to be back in the community.
Because Hull's a league town, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Loz. Yeah. It is, but I don't know. It's just, it is a bit different over here. They've all got their soccer shirts on. I can say soccer on this show.
Yeah.
but yeah, they just love it over here. But yeah, Hull definitely is. Obviously, having the two teams in the town, they do love it. But it's yeah, like I said, it was nice to get back there.
Now your halves partner Luke Gale was your initial halves partner anyway. I've seen some commentary around him and his absence last weekend. Will he be back against Wigan? And what's the situation around him?
Yeah, well, Mido, it's because as we've spoken about before on the show, Joey Lovadool is going so well. Yeah, Gailey didn't get the nod last week, and it's just, that's what Hodges is probably trying to create. Well, sorry, not probably. He is trying to create in our team. You know, he's picking, you know, players on form, and, you know, it's not that Gailey wasn't in form. It's just that, you know, he got suspended, and then, you know, myself and Joey had a couple of pretty good games together, and Hodges just stuck with us. But yeah, coming off the back of last week, he's coming back in this week, and, you know, Hodge has had a word to us and said, look, boys, I need you to, you know, cement this and, you know, this spine and, you know, lead us into the back end of the year. So, yeah, it's just been one of those ones where, you know, there is, you know, Joey's just sort of come out of nowhere, to be honest. He's been unreal for us, and it's been hard to, you know, not put him in the halves. And, you know, he jumps back into the hook and roll this week, and yeah, hopefully we can just get some continuity in that spine and, you know, like I said, just head into the back end of the season.
What are you made of what's happening with the Bulldogs, buddy, and Trent Barrett's resignation?
Yeah, it's, you know what, Clark, it's tough to watch for me. Probably more so just because, you know, I do feel for Barrett. I know, you know, fans will say, and it's all about the coach and this and that, but I think a bit of it's got to come onto the players. You know, I see a guy there in Josh Jackson, and I feel so sorry for him because I just feel he takes a battering, you know. And yeah, there's a few comments that he made in the media about he wanted to go in and speak to the board about Barrett. He's just one of the most loyal people, yeah, I've ever seen, you know, for a club, and it breaks me to see him going through that at the club. But as a club themselves, I just think I think we've spoken about it before, they've just got to find their identity, you know. And it doesn't help when there's speculation every single day in the paper about, you know, this guy going, and, you know, and a few of them having a bit of an outburst with the media and whatnot. It's just, it's not the things that they should be thinking about. But it is tough to watch for me, Clay, because I still enjoy, you know, have good, really good relationship with a lot of people there.
Yeah. I feel for Jacko as well, Grubby. I mean, you wouldn't get a more passionate, professional, wonderful leader, does the right thing on and off the field. I mean, if you're setting an example at a footy club, he's the first person you bring in and show everyone what a professional looks like. He's just a wonderful person, first and foremost, and then you throw the football ability in, but the way he conducts himself in and around a football club, I don't think there's been a more professional player than him, Grubb.
Honestly, Loz, I can. This is me being brutally honest here. I speak to Jacko regularly about, you know, the Bulldogs and like what he thinks and whatnot. And, you know, the two coaches he's been through, you know, you watch every, you know, nearly media outlet, and they're bagging the hell out of him. He once hasn't said a bad word about him, and that just shows you the type of bloke he is. You know what? Deep down, he might think, you know, a couple of things might need to change and whatnot. But that's what happens in footy clubs sometimes. People bicker, you know, there's a bit of, you know, just that stuff that you don't need. And that's why, as you just said, he's just the perfect captain and the perfect person that you want to lead your club. And, you know, there's speculation that they're going to shop him around. That would be, honestly, the dumbest decision that they've ever made. You know, it's not just on the field, it's off the field too. It's a leader. He's a person that you want a young guy coming through now, 17 years old, to look up to and play like that and wear that blue and white jersey like he does every week.
Do you know much about Mick Potter?
I actually don't. Loz, no.
He wasn't at the Tigers when you were there, was he?
No, he wasn't at the Tigers. No, obviously just probably read a bit of stuff about him and whatnot. But, he steps in now and I'm not too sure what will happen whether they'll bring a new coach in or he'll stay. But, hopefully they can play some, good footy for him and, get him back into coaching arena.
What type of coach do you think the Bulldogs need? Because there's all this discussion about they need a Bulldog. Do they need someone that knows and understands the history of the Bulldogs? Or do you just go for the best coach? Do you go for a young, inexperienced coach? If you're in charge and you've been there, you've played there, what are you doing?
I definitely think, Loz, you need someone that is a Bulldog. That's just me. But in saying that, also, if Craig Bellamy was up for grabs, you grab him. Like, if there's a coach that one of the big coaches, that I think you take him. I don't think you're going in an experienced one right now, Loz, because then there's pressure on straight away, because if it's their first job and whatnot, they're not 100% confident in their role going into it like any job you go into. But I can't understand how they haven't called on Jimmy Dimmick for all these years, Loz. A player, I learnt a lot from him, so much, like just about rugby league and, probably more my defence. He helped me out so much with that and he just never got a shot, especially even when when they just got rid of Dez. Yep. I thought he was going to go straight in.
Well, Jimmy hasn't been mentioned at all, but he is a Bulldog. He's been an assistant for a long time, and he actually took over there for, half a dozen games, games?
1 point, I think.
Yeah. He gave my debut, Loz, actually, in the back end of
Blues,
2010.
Blues, New South Wales assistant for a while as well?
Yeah, he was, I like Jimmy. Jimmy's a very intelligent coach.
He's a hell of
very,
a player.
Very
as well.
Knowledgeable, isn't he?
Yeah, very, very, very smart, Loz. Like, honestly, even though the game's totally changed from, when he played, he was all about, the flick pass, but now he knows the game really well now. He used to tell me where to line up on a player and where to finish and things like that. So I'd 100%, for me, I'd get someone like that back at the club and, he knows what it's all about. And I'd get someone like Mick Ennis in there somehow. I think when he talks about the Bulldogs on Fox, he's
would
still
Mick
got
want
that
to do
fire
it
in his belly.
Do you reckon Mick would want to coach?
I know he wants to do it
really?
At one stage, Loz. Yeah, definitely. I've spoken to him about it in the past.
What
I'm not
doing
sure
the
when.
Raiders? Wasn't he
well, he was
at the Raiders
doing a bit,
something?
But I look at those blokes and go, they got the best of both worlds. They can dip their toe into it, have a little bit of an input into coaching, but they've still got
TV
the media.
Well, yeah.
Which sort of takes a bit of pressure off them as well, but it's a want to say an easier lifestyle, but it's more relaxed lifestyle. If you go into coaching, you're head first and 24/7. I don't know whether you know Mick better than me. Think he'd want to go into it head first?
I've 100% had a word with him about it, and I think he's the kind of guy too, Liz. He really sets goals for himself, and I think he'd love the challenge. I really do, and I think he'd be great because his general knowledge of the game is awesome too, and I think he'd be perfect for the Dogs right now as well.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that it should be probably a Bulldog that coaches there. We look at some clubs and think I think we look at Manly and go, sort of needs to be Manly
sort of
person.
A unique
there.
Club, isn't it, the Bulldogs?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, how political is it, Josh? I mean, we were speaking this week about the fact that there's board meetings every 2 years, and if the club's struggling, new board members don't want to be under pressure, so therefore you're going to demand change as far as in the footy departments more regularly than perhaps other clubs might. So, I mean, you were there. I mean, so you're basically by saying it should be a Bulldog, you're noting sort of how unique that club and the setup or the way that club runs is as opposed to other clubs.
I definitely think that, Mitt, 100%, because I think coming into the Bulldogs, just say if you're a new player coming into the Bulldogs, straight away, when I was there, they tried to get you to realise what it is and what people have done in this club to get us here. And that's what I loved about it. I love that they tried to bring a lot of the old ex-players in a lot of the time, and even just like coming around the club And they really just, well, when we were there, it was very family orientated. They tried to really make it like it was, you know, a lot, it was us against everyone else. And I sort of loved that. And I loved, you know, they got Terry Lamb still around the club. They got Barry Ward still around the club. Tony Grimaldi was there. They all knew what it was, you know, to put on that jersey. And it was just, I think it just had a feel about it, you know. I really do. I really think if you did get someone back there, they'd be able to tell, you know, the new people, the boys that are playing there now, what it meant for them. And then if you want to play for this club, you've got to buy in like this. You can't just be someone who's here and he's here just for, you know, a ride. You've got to really buy into the club. And that's just for me. Like when I think about the Bulldogs and when I was there, that's what it meant. And that's what it was meant to be a Bulldog.
It's interesting because Gus said that, what, 2 years ago when Trent was first approached about the job, how he'd advise him not to take it because he wasn't a Bulldog. He said, you know, he's looked upon as being a Dragon, and when things go pear-shaped, that, you know, he mightn't have that support. And unless you've been a part of the club, you probably don't understand the fabric of it. Whereas I could probably explain to you what it means to be a Raider, but I wouldn't be able to tell you what it means to be a Bulldog. Yet, you know, you get blokes like Josh and people that have been involved in it. And it is a unique club. And all football clubs are different. They have different cultures. They have different feel to them. And from an outsider looking in, when you speak to people that have played with the Bulldogs, they understood. And I heard Braith say it on NRL 360 the other night. You've got to understand what the DNA of the club is. And by the sounds of things, Josh, when you were there and when Braith and all them were there, they understood it.
Yeah, it definitely is, Loz. And do you know, just a little thing I was just thinking about then, Loz. It's just, like, well, I've still got my first ever number as a Bulldog. And something like that, if you bring someone else, sorry, if you bring someone who's played for the Bulldogs in, they've got that number and it also, and it means something to them straight away. That's just like a little thing for me. So, and I know one thing with the Bulldogs, their fans are the most passionate fans there are in the game. And I feel they'd probably be a bit more lenient with a coach if they did play for the Dogs. So for me, we're about going back to the Barrett thing. Yeah, maybe Gus was right when he did say that, you know, to Trent. But yeah, for me, I'd definitely bring someone in that's been, you know, been at the club and knows what it's about.
Mate, you go well against Wigan. Thanks so much.
Thank you, boys. Cheers.
A dramatic end coming up here in the Europa League final in Seville. Rangers went ahead.
Oh, no, 1-1.
But Eintracht Frankfurt have levelled. Well, you're a big Rangers man today.
I'm not a big Rangers man, but I'm going for Rangers today, yes.
One of our listeners, the Duck Man, he's a big Rangers man. He'll be watching this nervously. Loz, who are you?
I've got a couple of mates at the pub as we speak.
You're kidding.
Drinking and watching.
Watching this?
Yes. One of them owns the pub, which allows it to be open. But he's got a bit of a crew there, drinking and watching as we speak. How's you doing? What day is it? Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Is it an establishment in the city?
It is establishment in North Sydney.
Okay, right.
Oh, I think I know where that is.
You definitely do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what. You know how I'm weird at times, and little things make me laugh.
No, never knew that.
Why do you both think like me? Every time I hear the word Frankfurt, I laugh.
Yeah.
I can't take it. I can't take a football team.
I get it.
Seriously.
Seriously, where their name's Frankfurt.
Long skinny red sausage.
Frankfurt.
No, I get it.
Who are you going for?
It's Frankfurt. Weird to say.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the Frankfurt?
I don't mind them.
Yeah, I reckon they're good.
It's been a while.
Yeah, old school.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wouldn't have had one for years.
Mum used to cut that up with a few Jack's
crackers. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How good.
But I just can't take a footy side seriously.
Okay.
Right.
So who are you supporting?
Rangers.
Frankfurt.
Yeah, you can't Frankfurt. Go for them.
Nah.
Rightio.
No, they need
Rangers,
a tougher
Rangers it is.
Yeah, Rangers. Yeah, I can't go for a Frankfurt.
Better strip as well. Or blue. Good strip, Rangers.
Yeah, anyway, that's the way I'm thinking this morning.
It's packed, isn't it?
1-1.
Who cares? Cup
third minute. Oh, it's the it's depends. Great for
not
these
the Rangers
clubs who never sort of get European success. Those sort of second rung clubs. So you know, I'll tell you what, they'll
shoot
be
out.
Fair. Their fans will be into it. But yes, 1-1, 75 minutes gone, and Frankfurt. I can't get it out of my head now. What have you done to me?
What's the difference? What's the difference between Frankfurt and Cabanossi?
I don't know.
Is it the same thing?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's another word I laugh a bit about.
Cabanossi?
Yeah.
You've got a few words. What's your favourite? What's your favourite?
Oh, Cabanossi breath.
What's your favourite?
Morton.
No.
Morton Stadium's definitely your favourite ground.
That's it. Was it at Morton Daly Stadium?
Morton Daly.
Up in Redcliffe. Redcliffe, yeah.
Perfect.
That's cool.
Morton Daly.
Now, yesterday, JR gave us some great mail for game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, this is, Clark, is looking at something on the screen. It was in relation to a text we've got that I'm going to get to.
I just looked at Mido's computer screen, and he's Googled something. I can see 15 yes, gorgeous women on a main screen. I'm what are we talking about here?
I was trying to get the... We had from Club Benengel on yesterday, someone telling us about... Jess, I think it was, telling us about the Pacing for Pink campaign. And we've got a text from Lazza from Leeton giving us... I'll get to that shortly. But first, JR.
Jamie, come and steal his computer, please. I know what's going on over here.
I need to come in and see what you guys are looking at in there. It sounds a lot more fun in your studio than in mine. I'm just going to say that. And no, boys, I have an extra spring in my step this morning. My multi got up.
Yeah, it was, and it was an easy watch, JR, at least from the second half.
Yeah, I was about to say, the first half, I did actually think we were in a bit of trouble, especially when Miami missed their first seven shots. I thought, oh dear, this is not going great. And the Celtics were leading at halftime, and Jimmy Butler only had 14 points in the first half. But so you can imagine at halftime, I was thinking, we are in some serious trouble because we needed a combined 40 or more points between Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero. But then this third quarter, between Miami and the Celtics, Jimmy Butler just came out and ignited this incredible comeback. They outscored the Celtics by 25 points in that third quarter, and that was a franchise record for a third quarter scoring margin in a playoff game. And the second worst quarter in the Celtics playoff history, just to put into context how bad they actually were. It was just this collapse by Boston. So Tyler Hero ended up finishing with 18 points. Jimmy Butler got 17 in just that third quarter alone to finish with 41 points. And we needed the two of them to combine for that 40. And of course, Miami went on to win. So it was tick, tick, multi got up.
Happy
I'm
days.
Very happy today.
Happy days indeed. And today we've got game one of the Western Conference Finals between Golden State at Dallas, tipping off at 11 o'clock. Golden State $1.46 with tab. Dallas $2.80 and the Mavs plus 5.5 at the line.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued about this matchup, Jared. I think the Mavs have been the biggest surprise packet during these playoffs. They took down the Jazz in the first round without Luka Doncic the entire series. And then we saw them follow that up by knocking out the Suns. And I just think Dallas could pull off an upset. The Luka show, I feel like, is just beginning. He is just going from strength to strength, and the Warriors need to figure out how to stop him in order to have more success than what the Suns did. So it's going to be really interesting. And I think the Warriors will take it out at home, but I just wouldn't be surprised if Dallas come out and cause a huge shock upset.
Yeah, all four teams can win it, no doubt about it. What about the Australian Swimming Championships, JR? Great story last night, particularly in relation to Shayna Jack.
Yeah, well, there was really great stories coming out of the swimming yesterday, guys. So Shayna Jack is back. She finished second in the 100-meter freestyle with a personal best time. So because she finished second, that means she's now made definitely the world champs team that's going to go off to Budapest, but also the Commonwealth Games team. And she said it's always been a private goal of hers to secure a spot as an individual rather than solely as part of a relay team. So she's done that. It was really emotional scenes, which is not surprising. We all know the backstory of her. So it was really good to see her get back in there and prove that she does belong on the team by finishing in second. And also, Loz, you were asking yesterday about Cody Simpson. Well, he has switched himself from pop star to an elite athlete because he has made our team. So he ended up finishing third in the 100-meter butterfly. He did end up finishing behind Kyle Chalmers. He swam faster than Kyle in the heats, but then Kyle ended up coming in second in the final. But Kyle Chalmers has already said he's not going to be swimming in the World Champs, which means Cody will then move up into that second spot. So he will now go to Budapest and the Commonwealth Games. So look at that. He said he wanted to become an elite swimmer. His mum represented our country as a swimmer. He's now doing the same thing.
Outstanding. Good on you, JR.
Well done for yesterday too on the multi, JR.
Oh, you could say it with some sincerity.
Yeah, do you mean that? Do you really mean that?
Do I mean it?
You should mean it.
Well, of course I mean it. You can see how excited I am when I'm mentioning it. Look, credit where credit's due.
I just think you could be, I'm with Middle on this occasion, you could be a little more excited for Jamie. It's brilliant effort.
I just said to Jamie,
yeah, but it's your tone. It's your tone. It's a down. Did you hear Jamie when she came on? She was buzzing and you're going, oh, he's a high five, JR.
It's what happens. We need, once Laws gets a multi-win, we can...
give it back to him?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie questioned my multi last weekend.
And to be fair, I did actually apologise to Laurie on Saturday because I questioned...
After the first leg.
Yeah. I didn't win. I know. It was after that first leg because I thought, oh, I do feel a little bit bad because Laurie was right. The overall multi, not so much. That leg, you were right, Loz.
Love you, JR.
Thanks, JR. I'll be back with the news at 7 now. Our next guest is going to join us from London, where yesterday, I believe, he played golf with Liverpool legend Kenny Dalglish. And we're going to preview the PGA Championship in Tulsa, Oklahoma, starting later tonight. Gowie, hanging out with all the legends. How are you, champion?
Yeah, good. You've just driven 4 hours down from Liverpool, or down from Royal Birkdale, actually, where I played today, and back down in London at the moment. So it's nice.
Jeez, what was it like to play with Sir Kenny Dalglish?
Oh, yeah, what a great fellow. We played at Formby yesterday. I'll play with him again tomorrow. We're playing in a big charity golf day tomorrow at Sunningdale. It was just a warm-up yesterday, and what a great fellow. He turned up, and as a gift, he gave me 2 Titleist golf balls, which was, you know, went well for a golf professional. He's been getting, you know, 4 or 5 dozen golf balls. I thought it was a great gift. The last thing I need is golf balls, but good fella. 71 years of age and so competitive. He was so upset when a guy on the last green hole day, 30-footer on us, to beat us. And I heard about it. Paul, we need to get better by Thursday. It was great. You know, I watched him play, and a lot of us did, and just a nice fella. But he is the king. They flock around him, that's for sure. But yeah, beautiful part of the world. So that's my first ever time. What people are quite amazed at. I never played golf over here. I never come over here for a holiday. So that's my first time ever into the UK.
Gowie, what did you hear Tiger Woods' comments in regards to Phil Mickelson? Pretty stern, and on, I guess, the same sort of page you are in regards to how important looking after the tradition and history of this sport is.
Yeah, you're right. No, very clever, actually, his press conference yesterday. He didn't draw the conversation back to him. He said that, you know, Phil's comments were polarising comments, that, you know, the legacy that Jack and Arnie and Gary have set up to you know, play for this amount of money that they play for these days, which is a lot of money, which he did state. They're very fortunate to play for that amount of money. But he didn't state that the money went from... let's say, I think it was $2 million prize money up to about $10 to $15 million when he joined the tour. He drove the tour through the roof. Now, Phil had something to do with that because there was a great competitive side to it, but the way that he worded it was brilliant. He's probably been waiting 20 years like myself to have a dig at Phil. So, and Phil's not playing this week. He's pulled the pin.
All right. Well, the PGA Championship, let's start with who you think will win it. In fact, tell us firstly about this course, Southern Hills, because everything I'm reading, Gowie, is that it's going to be very tough.
It's going to be tough. Gil Hans has changed this. So this is different from when Tiger won back in 2007. It's quite a different golf course. They've held 4 US Opens here and 3 PGA Championships, but it's totally different. They've pulled out a lot of trees. Something over 1,000 trees have been pulled out. It's a lot wider off the tee, but it's a lot deadlier around the green. So you're going to have to be pinpoint with your irons. It's really about getting them right. The driving is not so important because it's a little wider than the normal major championship. So it's beautiful golf course, what they've done with it. They've aired it out a lot. The rough's not going to be as thick as that we've seen in the past. It'll be thick enough to, you know, inhibit some shots into the green, but that's about it. But it really will be a test of golf, and somebody... that's got their mind game on for sure, because there's times to be attacking and there's times to be not. And, you know, I think the smart one's going to win this week. And obviously Tiger is probably the smartest golfer in the field, but I don't know if he's good enough to play against these guys and win again with what he's been through. But, you know, I'm looking at Justin Thomas. I think someone that's controlling his iron, He drives the ball well, but not he's not the best driver of the ball. But he, I'll tell you what, his iron play has got better and better. Last week, he played exceptionally well, had 20-odd under par, played some really good golf without winning. They went low at that event last week, but I like him. And Corey Connors, who's a ball striker, I've kept him on this show many, many times. He's going to come good to Canadian at some time, and he's my roughie. He's at any old odds, for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are there, and we've got 8 Aussies in there this week, and I'll tell you what, they're all a chance. They're all playing damn well.
And who do you have on top as far as the Aussies are concerned, Gowie?
Well, I'm going a bit left field here. I'm going with Jason Day. I think he's the one that's in form. Out of the 8 Aussies, you know, you've got Adam Scott, you know, Cam Smith. And if you're Cam Smith lover, well, you keep backing him because he's going to win one of these majors at some time. Matt Jones, who always plays well in the PGA Champs. Minwoo Lee, Cam Davis, Lucas Herbert, and Mark Leishman. But I'm going to go with Jason Day. I think this golf course will suit him. He's a putting machine when he gets the putter going. He's worked pretty hard with Chris Como, his coach, to get his golf swing a lot better. It's not as violent. I think I said it to you guys a couple of years ago. It's so violent, his golf swing. But last week, it looked a lot better. He's not going out as hard. He's controlling the ball a lot better, which means he can control his spin into the green. So, I think he's going to come out on top of the Aussies. But it is wide open. Justin Thomas, I just think he's one of those 5 players, along with Ram and Schauffele, those guys, Cantlay, that are right at the top of their game. So I think it'll be a massive shootout on the weekend, that's for sure.
Well, you go and have an enjoyable, we call it a holiday. We may as well, Gow. It sounds like
I'm working here. I've got Harry Kuehl next week. I've got to interview him and play a bit of golf with him too. So watch out.
When does this all go on Fox Sports, mate?
Yeah, this will be on probably in a few weeks' time. Actually, that Harry Kuehl, it will be up. So this week I've got Nathan Cleary coming up, and then Tyrone Peachey, and then Harry Kuehl will be straight in after that. And I've got a few coming up. I've got Gutherson and Mitch Moses coming up and a few others. So it's, busy times.
Oh, great stuff, Gowie. Thanks so much. Enjoy.
Thanks, fellas.
Gowie's tips for the PGA Championship. So he likes Justin Thomas to win, $15 with tab. His roughie, Corey Connors, an $81 chance. His top Aussie, Jason Day, who's a $61 chance to win it outright. And in the top Aussie market, on the second line of betting, at $5.50, Cam Smith, $2.25 in that top Aussie market. And Smith in outright betting, obviously very, very popular. And he is a $17 chance, Aussie Cameron Smith. And Tiger Woods, $67 to win the PGA Championship. Back at where he won the tournament last time, Southern Hills. That was back in 2007. But as Gowie said, they've got rid of about 1,000 trees and changed it completely since the last time Tiger won it. Now, we're just still in that Europa League final. Just want to say it again, Frankfurt and Rangers. It is 1-1, 88th minute. Extra time beckons. And by the way, this Europa League final on Stan. Stan.com.au. Great offering there now. They've got plenty going on there at Stan. You've got Super Rugby, all the rugby stuff. They've got plenty of motorsport and the Champions League and the Europa League, of course, too. Billions too, Clarkie. Good show.
Billions, good. Yeah. Ghost, good show. One of my favourites. Yep. Mm. Yeah, they got some good stuff.
Adam Pengilly, morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys.
Koshu, impressive there yesterday on the Kenzo, the John O'Shea filly, justifying all the support it had.
Yeah, I'd say she's probably one of the better horses we've seen coming out of the midweeks for a while, Jared. You'd have to say that. And John O'Shea obviously said that's it for her this campaign. Put her away for a little bit of a spell and get her ready for the spring. That's always a sign that he's got big ambitions for her, and she's obviously well above average. So the time married up okay with Baroque Road. They both ran pretty similar times, the 2 2-year-olds and the 2 2-year-old races there at the Kenzo. But just the style and manner of how she did it and off the preparation with only one 700-metre trial and maybe a jump out at home suggests that she's going to be extremely nice filly to watch heading towards the spring. Whether he probably targets John, I'd imagine the Princess Series heading towards maybe a flight stake. She gets over a mile. At this stage, you wouldn't say it's going to be too much of an issue, but definitely a horse to watch later in the spring.
What about, I'm sure you haven't done your form up there in Queensland as yet, but in the Doomben Cup, Zaki, you all over him or you very wary?
Oh, $1.50, Liza, is not really my cup of tea, to be honest. He looks like he'll win this race and probably win it comfortably. What's the only thing that beats him? Well, maybe a bit of bad luck or he doesn't come up on a really wet track. And I noticed Doomben's still rated a heavy 9 at the moment. That was a tradesman-like win last start on the Gold Coast. I wouldn't say it was the brilliant Zaki we've come to love and know. And obviously after his Queen Elizabeth run up down here in Sydney, might have taken a little bit out of him, but Annabelle's found this race for him. It looks a really suitable race. We know he won this race by a massive space last year, and again, he's going to start a short price favourite. There's just not a lot of depth to this field, Laws. It's just a really sort of weak Group 1 race, if I can put it in those terms. We know that Polly Gray, well, she's an outstanding wet trucker, we know that, but if she's a second favourite for a Group 1, you're obviously lacking a bit of depth in this race. And the horse that I've always had an opinion of, Wetter, who's obviously needs to prove himself at this level, is going about it the right way. But $1.50 for Zaki is probably about the right price, and he should be winning another Group 1 there on the weekend.
Group 1 racing in Adelaide, the Goodwood, and this is a certainly more open field than the Dubin Cup when you look at Extreme Warrior at $5. It's been, I guess, the money horse this week, $6 into $5. Jamie Carter ride for big price, Michael Kent Jr. In the boat, $7. Behemoth, $8.50. 10 and longer the rest, but plenty of chances here.
Yeah, Dean West has a share in the boat, doesn't he, Jared?
I think so.
Yeah, so he's obviously got a keen interest in that horse. I'm very keen to see how Extreme Warrior goes. It's a very deliberate plan by Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. to get him ready for this race, the Goodwood. We saw him in the spring sort of come through his grades really quickly, and he started favourite in that Coolmore Stud Stakes, I'm pretty sure, down the straight where he ran midfield. So, you know, Mug, if he's starting favourite in a race like that against some really hot three-year-olds all up and down the eastern seaboard. So this is like a plan for him. He's drawn a little bit awkwardly, it must be said, so he's going to have to do a little bit of work from that outside gate. But then I've just got the locals there with Behemoth up the top of the weights and Stava 2XL trying to defend his crown from last year after that shock win. So keen to look forward towards the Goodwood on the weekend. I wonder if there's any Everest implications coming out of it. I'm not too sure at this stage, Jared, but we'll see how it plays out.
And Mugatu has ticked another box, as we hopefully see him back at the races soon.
Yeah, another nice trial there yesterday at Gosford. So he's building up towards some sort of fitness. And I'd imagine he'll probably have just a couple of starts throughout the winter here in Sydney, maybe even head up to Queensland for maybe a race like an Equality or something like that to try and get him back to the track. And then we'll see how he pulls up and get ready for the spring. But it's remarkable. We're talking about Zaki going around as a short price favourite in the Doomben Cup. Well, that's the last time we've seen Mugatu on the track. He was in the market as well for that Doomben Cup last year and obviously did a tendon. So Chris Lees is getting there with him. Let's hope to see him back at the track soon and see if he can make his presence felt in the spring later this year.
And make sure you mark it down, 10:30 tomorrow morning, the trial of Pretty Wild, where MJ Clark is in the ownership.
I'm still dirty that Very Elegant got knocked out, bumped out of the stable for Pretty Wild.
Mate, there comes a time for everyone, Adam. You know that.
Yeah, the Melbourne Cup winner wasn't big enough to stable for two of them. Mate,
it's just not enough room on the one track.
we just know how this is going to play out. It's going to be sickening, isn't it?
Wish it well, you two.
I want you to win.
Wish it well.
Just because I want a day of the races with you. Because you'll get a beautiful table.
Adam, you just know how it's going to play out, don't you?
I want to see how much of a dedicated owner you are, Clark. Are you actually going
into the trial? No, he wanted to go to the trial tomorrow, but I'm in the car. I've got a three-hour drive, but I wanted to go to the trial. These boys are laughing at me for taking it too serious.
Oh, it's great. I think it's fantastic.
Mate, I'm in. I'm in until it loses.
When she loses, you'll
then
be like
look
us.
Look out, Chris Waller. I'm coming for you.
Have a great day, mate. See ya.
See ya, boy.
Adam Pegilly there, and get ready. Because after 7 o'clock, he's in.
Oh, he's here in he enthusiastic. Is. He's up and about, too.
He is.
He's had four coffees. I've seen him have four coffees out there. He's flying. And he'll have a can of Red Bull when he
he'll
gets in.
He'll have some ideas, too, today, I reckon, the bloggy. I
smashed my car, top front right tyre today, on the world's biggest pothole. So I want to have a chat to him again. Obviously, he wanted them fixed. Yeah. They're not listening.